Mike Mills. Mike is one of the founding members of REM. They were one of the most popular and influential rock bands of all time. His vocal harmonies and infectious bass lines were a huge part of the band's albums and performances. REM started in 1980 and called it quits in 2011. So you may be wondering what Mike is up to these days. I'm so glad you asked. He combined his love of rock and roll with his love of baseball. Mike is a member of the supergroup, The Baseball Project. The band also includes Mike's fellow REM co-founder, Peter Buck, plus guitarist Steve Wynn, drummer Linda Pittman, and Scott McCoy. Mike stops by now to talk about the band's album Grand Salami Time and how this idea of a supergroup came to pass.
The germ was founded at my 50th birthday party when Steve and Scott started talking about their common love of baseball and rock and roll, and why wasn't there a band that dealt with that, some sort of baseball project, if you will, which is of course the name that they took. And they made a couple of records with Peter and Steve's wife Linda on drums, Peter on guitar, and I wasn't even involved until they were doing their first show, their first live show in Spain, and Peter couldn't go. So they asked me to sub in on bass, and I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. And so then I became a member of the band. So now it's I'm the bass player and Peter is a guitar player.
Yeah, and Steve Wynn, of course, is best known for his work with Dream Syndicate.
Absolutely. And he had another great band called The Miracle Three. And, he's just an incredibly talented musician. It's a band full of great musicians.
So the next question is pretty obvious. I think I know the answer, but you never know until you ask it. Are you a big baseball fan?
I am indeed. That's one of the things that Steve and I and Scott and Linda, we all talk about. Even outside of the project, we're all very involved in fantasy baseball, and we love just baseball in general. So, yes, it's a big part of our summer lives.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. The Baseball Project's latest album, their fourth album, is called Grand Salami Time. Mitch Easter co-produced it. He, of course, produced REM's early albums. What was it like for you and fellow Baseball Project member Peter Buck to work with Mitch again?
Well, it's always a pleasure to work with Mitch. He's one of my favorite people in the world, even aside from his incredible talent in the studio and on guitar. I've kept up with Mitch over the years. I've done projects with him. I've worked at his studio, the Fidelitorium. I've done various projects up there, and we play. We both play in a Big Star. I hesitate to call it a tribute band because the drummer for Big Star, Jody Stevens, is in the band. But we've done, it's sort of a, I don't know how you would describe it. We're all huge fans of Big Star, but we play with Jody. So it's more than just a tribute band. So anyway, I do that with Mitch, and it's just always a pleasure to work with him and hang out with him.
Mm. How did Mitch help shape the sound of the new album, Grand Salami Town?
I think that Mitch's sensibilities are very much in line with Scott and Steve and Linda's and mine. So it's not... It's more or less that we already all have the same sort of goal in mind. And we know that everything each other does is going to make it sound the way that we want it to. So we already know Mitch's sound. We know his technological proclivities. And we know that that's exactly what we want to get it to where we want it to be. So it's really a natural process between the five of us and Mitch.
Mm, I love that term you use, technological proclivities. Can you give us an example of one of Mitch Easter's technological proclivities?
Well, he loves vintage equipment. He used to say that he would buy amps depending on the color. And to an extent, that's true. There is some, if you know them well enough, you know what amps should look like. I'm talking about studio amps, not guitar amps. You know, and Mitch is, for example, here's something he did way, way back when we were doing our first single with Mitch. He had this is a little technical, but he would he would put an AM station on static, on no station at all, just AM radio. And then he would gate that noise, that sort of white noise, into the snare sound. So you would combine a little bit of that white noise into the snare sound. And nobody would ever know that except the people that were doing it. But it added just a little, je ne sais quoi to the overall sound. And it's just a really cool effect.
Okay. First REM single, was that Radio Free Europe? No.
It was.
Keep me in the country, in the wood. Isn't it goodbye, love, person?
I'll have to check that out. That is very interesting.
You'll never hear it, but I know it's there, and Mitch knows it's there, and it's just a cool thing.
Yeah, well, I can imagine now that you've told me this, I can imagine that I'll be able to hear it. I'll just be self-deluding and figure it. Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah, so thank you for that. The Baseball Project also includes Scott McCoy, who was an auxiliary member of REM for, I think, 17 years. What is it like for you to work with Scott and Peter Buck in the Baseball Project? Is it kind of a different feel from when you were working together in REM?
It's because it's a lower profile project, there's a little bit less, you know, not that REM ever felt that much pressure, but it is a looser vibe than any of the REM stuff ever was. But the cool thing is that we're all very good friends. So really, whatever project we work on is just sort of another chapter in our friendship. And so in that sense, we're very comfortable with each other. We know how each other works, and there's always room for each other to do the things they want to do. So it comes out very easy. It's a really, really a simple process in the sense of not having to worry about what the other guys are going to do.
That's good. Yeah. You have a song on the album called Stuff. What is this song about?
Well, we were speaking with Lenny DiNardo, and Steve asked him how many baseball players doctor the ball, put stuff on the ball. We thought it might be 30% or something. And Lenny said probably 75 or so.
Wow.
We thought that was astonishing. But as it turns out, you know, part of putting stuff on the ball is to make it do crazy things. The other part of it is to have control over it. And so hitters don't mind because they, you know, if somebody's throwing the ball 98 miles an hour right next to your body, you want them to have control over it. And the other aspect of it is that everybody's doing it. Every team was doing it. So teams are really reluctant to call out another team for doing it. If baseball fans will recall that during, I guess it was one of the playoff games, I can't remember, but Michael Pineda was pitching for the Yankees, and he had pine tar on his neck, and everyone could see it. Everyone could see it watching TV. The announcers were mentioning it. And then finally, the opposing manager, who didn't want to say anything about it, finally had to come out and tell the umpire, say, look, this guy's got stuff on his neck. We got to get him off the field. But they didn't want to call him out on it because their guys are doing it too.
Wow. So Stuff has got this very cool, foreboding, dystopian vibe. And I'm wondering, did you choose to arrange it that way? And even kind of your vocals that have this menacing quality, is that to match the song subject?
You know, that it's funny. I was sitting in a dressing room with Scott. The Baseball Project was actually on tour when I wrote most of that song, especially the musical part. And I don't know why it came out, you know, mysterious like that. It just seemed stuff, you know, what does it mean? Is it dangerous? Is it poisonous? Is it weird? We don't know. So I just decided to make it kind of creepy and menacing. And then when I sang it, I wanted to keep that element in the song. You know, the vocal needs to match the music.
Just like Brill Cream, a little dabble, do ya? I use that L.A. look to try and fool ya. Old Michael Pineda, you know he couldn't pitch clean. Instead of pine tar, he should've used Vaseline. That's the stuff.
I'm not a particularly menacing person, but I tried to give it some sort of menace in the vocal. I'm glad you noticed.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad that you're glad that I noticed that. And between you and me, it's my favorite song on the album.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I wish you had, because that's the only written song you wrote, right? You didn't co-write any of the other songs or write any of the other songs on the album, or did you?
No, this is really Steve and Scott's band. You know, they formed it. They formed it at my birthday party, or they formed the idea at my birthday party. But it's really their band. They're the primary songwriters. I just love contributing. You know, to have one more songwriter kind of gives it a little bit more of a complexity that it wouldn't have otherwise. But it's their band, and I'm more than happy to let them be the primary songwriters.
That's very generous of you. There's a song on the album called The Yips, and I'm curious, is it possible for you as a musician to get the yips, or is that something that only applies to baseball players, usually pitchers and golfers?
Well, I guess, yes, it is in a way. There was one time on tour where REM had two songs that were relatively similar in how they started. And I played the wrong one twice in a row. And Peter said, well, we're not doing that song anymore. I said, no, let's do it. I'll get it right next time. But it does get in your head. You know, if you make the same mistake a couple of times it can really get in the back of your mind, and you have to make an effort to overcome that.
Mm. What was that song?
Well, it was World Leader Pretend and Welcome to the Occupation. They're both, I think, in E minor, and they start similarly. So, you know, just a brain cramp on my part. It happens over 40 years of playing.
Of course, yeah. The Baseball Project often performs at baseball stadiums. Do you have a favorite stadium gig?
Well, we've had a few. We really like the minor league parks. Minor league ball is just so charming and fun and low pressure. You know, families are there and they all have all these weird promotions going on all the time. And so we really enjoy doing minor league ball. We played for the Madison Mallards a couple of times up there. They're they're not a professional league, but that was the first place I ever had deep fried cheese curds. So that changed my life.
Oh, okay, yeah. Give us a short review of deep fried cheese curds. What do you think?
Well, they're magic. They're clearly made. So we never had that down south. So I was really pleased to find that in Madison. They were really good to us, and those kind of things are really fun. The Brewers have actually been extremely generous to us. They let us. I think we might have even done a 3-night homestand there. We sang "Take Me Out the Ball Game" one day, and then the national anthem one day, and they promoted our show that night in Milwaukee. So. It's really fun to be able to link up with both the minor and major league teams because of our love for baseball.
Mm, yeah, very well said. There's something very interesting about the lyrics of the title song, The Grand Salami, which is the opening track. And I didn't notice it until I looked at the liner notes. But can you tell us what it is?
Well, I believe it's a list of different home run calls that announcers have. You know, that's one of the joys of baseball is the idiosyncrasies of each team's announcers. And, announcers have to decide how they're going to call home runs. And most announcers have their own particular way of doing it. Some of them are more colorful than others. And so we really enjoyed knowing, you know, how the different announcers approach their home run calls.
Mm-hmm. Of course, speaking of baseball announcers, the last song on the album is called The Voice of Baseball, and it's a tribute to Vin Scully. What's your take on Vin Scully? What do you think of him?
Oh, Vin is an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the last to be a neutral announcer, as they were all originally trained to be. Now, every team's announcers are homers. They it's us and our team and we and that and the other. But Vin was a professional, and he was relatively neutral. I mean, he was obviously a Dodger fan, but he tried to call the game in a neutral manner. And that's the sort of professionalism you have to respect, because sometimes the cheerleading for your own home team can get kind of tiresome from these announcers. So it was really nice to have some objectivity from Vin. One of the all-time best. Plus, Steve does a really good imitation of him, and that's a lot of fun too.
I'll bet it is. Do you think there's any chance for a Football Project album, or better yet, since I'm Canadian, a Hockey Project album where you guys would only play at rinks?
Well, you know, there's a band called the Zambonis.
Yeah, that's right.
And they do something similar for hockey that we do for baseball. No, I don't see, you know, football is a different breed. Baseball is about storytelling. You know, baseball is about nicknames and managers and weird behaviors and leisurely games and all of that sort of thing. Whereas football is, you know, just this hyper dynamic, aggressive, macho sport, and doesn't really lend itself to songwriting or, you know, tribute bands about it. So, no, I think baseball is the perfect milieu for this.
Mm, yes, I think you're right about that. What's next for Mike Mills? What are you working on, or what is left for you to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, there's always plenty. The Baseball Project, of course, going out on the road. I've written a concerto that exists in several different iterations, but the current one is something actually kind of cool for REM fans. I took 10 REM songs and I split them between two arrangers, and I said, okay, I want you to arrange these songs for a symphony or a string orchestra first, then it became a symphony, and do something different with them. You know, they're still REM songs, but I want you to take them wherever places you want them to go. So the first half of the concert is these two arrangers interpretations of REM songs. And then the second part of the concert is my concerto for violin, rock band, and orchestra performed with a full symphony. So we have several of those coming up later this year. And and then one other thing, I might as well say, we have another version of the concerto where the first half of the show I've curated an hour's worth of songs, either by Georgia artists or about Georgia. And we play it with Bobby McDuffie on violin and Chuck Lavelle on piano. So the first hour of this evening is called A Night of Georgia Music. And then we have the concerto. And we actually just won a regional Emmy for the public broadcast version of A Night of Georgia Music.
Oh, cool. Okay, we got to check that out. And no plans for a solo album? I'd love to hear a solo album.
I keep thinking about it, and I've got a bunch of stuff kicking around, but I have all these other wonderful projects that I do, and I'm really enjoying them. I'm sure that the solo album will happen. I just don't know when.
Okay. Well, it's something to look forward to. Mike Mills, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on the Baseball Project's Grand Salami Time. You've hit a grand slam with this album.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Mike Mills is the bassist for the Baseball Project and co-founder of REM. Find out more about Mike and the Baseball Project's Grand Salami Time at wpr.org/beta.
But it's one of those things that people are just, you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and what's going to happen? And I think that was the brilliance of Ernie.
Coming up, Josh Mills joins us to talk about television's comedy genius, Ernie Kovacs. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.